The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
26 minutes past nine. It's Thursday morning, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by our dear friend Cecilia Hearn. Good morning, Cecilia.
Good morning, Mr. Hobbity.
Well, you'll have to explain that.
Well, in our house, you are Hobbity. You're
That's
Ryan
it?
Hobbity, yeah.
Just
because my kids call you Ryan Hobbity, so that's what I now call you forever.
You did something very sweet. Well, not you. It was nothing to do with you. It was your daughter, Robin, did something very sweet as you reached into your bag and when I greeted you this morning. And you did what?
Well, she wanted to give you your favourite sweets, which she told me were jelly babies.
She's so right.
she right?
She's 100% right.
Oh, fantastic.
Oftentimes, people very kindly give me jelly beans. And
get it wrong.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not jelly beans. You've got to get
She'll be chuffed.
So she got this bag of jelly babies. So
but you're not opening them, I noticed.
Not yet. I'm saving. I'll have to coffee first, jelly beans later. Jelly babies. But thank you. And I'd love to do message for it to say thank you. Congratulations on the latest book that you promised you'd never write. I think this
Absolutely.
Is really interesting about this.
Yeah.
P.S. I Love You was the phenomenon among all your other multi-million selling books and so on. But you did say that you weren't going to go there again. What happened?
I said I'd never do it from the beginning. From the moment I wrote P.S. I Love You, people were asking if I'd write a sequel. And there were just so many reasons why I wouldn't. First, it was I had brought the character to exactly where I wanted to bring her. I couldn't see, like, what am I going to do, bring Jerry back alive again? What, you know, I couldn't see what the story would be. And also, just because something's a success, I don't think that you should, you know, necessarily write a sequel. So, and also, I didn't want, you know, the thing that made my career to also be the thing that breaks my career.
Well,
so there's that.
Therein lies the rub as well. But I was thinking about this today, that, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle killed Sherlock Holmes and said, Reich and Backfall, get rid of him. I'm sick. I'm kind of sick of him. One trick pony. I want to do something else.
Yeah.
And the people said, no, just keep singing the same song. Like, we want more Holmes. And he had to kind of I don't think that's the same story for you, obviously, but
I think if the story is there, then you have to tell it. And I talk about all the millions of reasons why I didn't want to write it. But the one reason why I did is because I came up with an idea for a story and it just wouldn't go away. And it kept growing and growing and growing, and I thought, I have to write this. And what was really important to me was that it was a strong, that it could be a strong standalone novel, that regardless of whether people had read P.S. I Love You or not, that this would be strong enough to be a story
come
in itself.
As a newcomer to the story,
exactly,
as it were.
Yeah.
And you did, what was the trigger for the, there was a moment, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a moment. So, and back in 2012, when I had my second baby, I was with my solicitor changing my will. You know, you're adding guardianship if anything happens to me.
Yeah, kind of morbid pastime, but
quite morbid, but necessary, you know? And if anything happens to me, who will take my children? And as I was doing that, I thought about all the things that people do in preparation for the possibility that they will leave this world for the people that they're leaving behind. And I felt, well, P.S. I Love You was about, from the perspective of the person who's grieving, the people who are left behind.
Of course.
And I wanted to tell the story from a new perspective, from the people who've been told they're either terminally ill or they have life-altering conditions. And so Postscript is about a group of people who discover.
It's kind of like an odd fan club.
Yeah, an odd, they're called the P.S. I Love You Club.
Yeah.
They've been inspired by Holly's experience and they ask her to help them write their letters for their loved ones.
Can I go back to the will for a second? I'm sorry, because I know it sounds more, but since you've become a mum, do you fear death more?
I suppose, yeah, because you're leaving. Yeah, it's horrible to even talk about, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's why I wrote a book about it.
It crosses my mind every so often, and I tried to run away from the thought immediately.
Yeah, it's awful. But when my babies were babies, before I flew away for work or anything, which was always really difficult to do when you're leaving them, because I used to write a letter to them, and I'd write a little
handwritten
note.
Letter.
Yeah, a handwritten letter of all the things I'd want, you know, them to know when they grow up that I didn't have the opportunity to say to them. So, or that I said to them, but they wouldn't remember. And actually, I did put that into the book. I added that as something that one of the characters does. And my mom told me that she did that for me as well. If she she rarely went away, but if she went away on a holiday, she wrote a little note and kept it in her bedside locker for us to read in case anything happened.
What a gorgeous thing to do. And but also kind of a kind of pessimistic approach to travelling. If this plane goes down,
it's
at least
it's serious prep. And that's what I've learned. That's what I've learned since PS I Love You. You know, the amount of people who've contacted me and told me about similar stories, like, not inspired by the book, but things that people have done themselves, that we do want to control. We can't control how we leave this world, but we know that we're going to. So at least we can control how, you know, the message we leave behind or, you know, and the state of the things that we leave behind. So that's really what I wanted to write about in this book, how you can control the life that you have while you're here.
I think one of the things, as you're talking, that you can control is to leave the people who you love like no other in no doubt of how loved they were by you. And you won't be around to tell them that. But if they have that sort of emotional legacy in their heart, what I call the hard drive, that they can access that memory or that thing or that expression, or that's probably what we're doing when we say, when you write those letters.
And also, when I was actually writing this novel, I went into it a bit more, and that Holly always felt that Jerry wrote those letters for her. But as, the more she analyses it, the more she realizes that, well, actually, he didn't want to be forgotten. There's also an element of remember me.
And she's in love again. I mean, not to give too much away, but she has moved on.
She has moved on.
In that regard. And that's an interesting thing to have to write about. Did you talk to people who found themselves, you know, as a widow or widower, or did you just imagine it from scratch?
I imagined it from scratch, but I have spent the last 15 years really speaking about this with people
around the world.
People who have been huge fans of PS I Love You. So obviously that came from imagination.
Of course it did,
But then letters and contact with people over the years has...
informs your...
Definitely. And I remember one of the very first stories somebody told me when I was in San Francisco on one of my first tours in a bookstore. She told me that her father had passed away in the summertime, and at Christmas she went up to her attic to take out the Christmas decorations, and she found a box of... presents that had been wrapped and labelled for each member of the family that he had arranged, you know, 6 months previously.
Knowing
that he would pass away. And I actually did also, I put that in the book too, because I wanted to honour the very first story that I'd heard, my first PS I Love You story. So, and I've heard so many stories like that. So I was, that's kind of was enough research as well for this.
Because you travel so, in the last number of years, decade or so, you've been travelling to so many corners of the globe. Do you find that, particularly in response to PS I Love You and feeding into Postscript, the new book, that the language of romance, love, and indeed death is universal?
Absolutely. I mean, when people say, why was your book so successful? I mean, it's an impossible question to ask. I always say, ask the reader, because they're the ones who decide whether they like it or not. But I think it's because I'm writing about something that is so universal. We all know what it's like to fall in love. We all know what it's like. We're going to have to lose somebody and grieve. And it is such a universal emotion, feeling.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that's... And I wrote... I suppose I've written PS and Postscript with hope, you know?
Yes.
And that's what we want.
When you tweeted in July the 4th, as it happens, you sent out a tweet that suggested that this was grueling for you. I get the sense reading that you said that novel 18 has been nothing short of a marathon through uncharted brain terrain. It's a great word, great expression. I'm pooped. Pen drop. What was it about this one that was such a slog?
Well, that wasn't this. It was the one I wrote after this.
Oh, it's the one after. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I misread that. I thought it was the... So what's the one after?
The one after will be out next year. But it was... No, to be honest, this was...
You don't want
to
talk about the one after when you're trying to talk about the one. Let's park
that
for
the
moment.
No one wants to hear about that
one. All right, okay. But it sounds like it.
But this was very... This was probably the most challenging book I've ever written, because I had to kind of do a study of my own book. I mean, I had to go back and read PS I Love You. It'd been a long time. I had to find the holes in the story. You know, where are the holes that I can fill in for Postscript? Where are the seeds that I planted that can grow in the sequel? Like, which characters am I keeping?
So were you reading the PS I Love You with almost like with the red pen going here, fix, address, sort out?
And there were things that I didn't explain, you know, I didn't explain why he wrote that letter. And I'm like, yes, that's great. Now I can bring that into the second one.
Great.
So it was really interesting. And I also wasn't able to to build a character from scratch, which is what I love doing. You know, it's a character that I wrote 17 yeah. years ago as a 21-year-old, and it was my first novel. So I was thinking, what can I add to her now? How can I make her meaty and juicy and exciting for me as the writer that I am now? So it was just challenging, you know, in yeah. a very different way. And the reason why I chose 7 years later, so this is 7 years since yeah. Jerry passed away, and 6 years since she read the last sure. letter, because there is this 7-year theory, you know, that we are, you know, mind and body kind of evolve or change after every 7 years and we become a kind of different version of ourselves. So I thought, well, I can't completely change Holly, but I can take on the new yeah. the new version of
like
Holly.
Like a gear change in her life.
Exactly,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally
yeah.
understand that. Amy Huberman's reading this book as yes. your audiobook.
Yes.
Was she your first choice?
Oh, she's a fabulous.
Yeah, she's a friend of yours, I take
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah. absolutely. And she's so talented.
I have a little sample of her reading from Yay. The book, which I'd like to hear. Okay, this is postscript.
We're sitting in the window of her vintage and secondhand shop, Magpie, where I've worked with Keir for the past 3 years. Once again, we've transformed the shop to an event space where her podcast, How to Talk About, will be recorded in front of an audience. Tonight, however, I'm not in my usual safe place.
That's Amy Huberman reading a little bit of postscript. Perfect casting, as I said to you there during
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I mentioned Celine Dion this morning because she's in the papers as saying she really misses her husband. She misses being touched and being hugged by somebody.
Yeah.
And it kind of resonates a little bit with your stories, both the previous and the current one. And Betty was on to say that she agreed with Celine Dion. It's the hugs and kisses and being special to someone that you miss. My husband passed away 6 years ago, and she's thinking about him as a result of the chat about it. And somebody else saying, listening to that, missing the wonderful feeling of another's touch. My husband died 10 years ago, and it's still one of the things I really miss, along with the wonderful hugs. On a funnier note, having someone to zip up your dress when getting
oh,
dressed.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I spoke to, I remember I was speaking to Patricia Gibney, I'm sure you've met on the circuit. I don't know, she's a crime writer, and she talks about how her husband died in real life, if I may use the expression. And she used to put the Argos catalogue on the bed beside her just to feel the weight.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, because it's wow. these are the things.
Yeah,
that
aren't I love
great,
hearing those little things.
Aren't they the touches? Yeah. They're not greatly yeah. discussed, but they're worth
yeah.
airing, because people like to talk about these things.
And I know, and it is the little things. I remember people saying to me, it's, you know, when their husband passed away, they didn't know the password for the Sky code
or
for, the, you know, and all these little things that, you know, you don't know what the other does really every day until they're gone and you realise, oh, gosh, they do the bins or they do. And yeah. and it's all these little parts of them that you miss, like obviously the big parts of them as well.
Yes.
But it's the small things that
of course.
Stop you in your tracks, I think, every day.
They build.
Yeah.
When you wrote beans on toast and a bottle of beer... your great
the phenomenal
the great unpublished
debut.
First novel at the age of 14. I mean, when you wrote that, was it obviously you were in school.
Yeah.
Was it a project, or was this a sidebar project at home that you?
It was just I taught myself how to type on a Mavis Beacon typing course on the computer.
Clunk, 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 clunk.
And I just loved that typey tappy feeling of being a writer, and I loved writing, so I typed up this book myself. It was all for me, and it was about a 16-year-old.
Yes.
So it was quite mature, older.
She loved a boy who didn't love her back.
Yeah.
Parents got on her nerves.
Yeah.
16-year-old.
Yeah, I think it was pretty much
gold.
A diary.
Yeah. Based loosely on.
Yes.
Do you still have that?
I do,
oh,
actually.
Really?
I even illustrated my cover, which was like a really bad
Would you
sketch.
Please tweet that later on for us?
I'll have to find it, yeah.
Fine,
yeah.
dig it out. Because yeah. Your kids would love to see that.
I know.
So you've got Robin and...
Sunny.
Sunny. Robin being 9 now.
Yes,
and
that's
Sunny
right.
being...
7.
7. And in 3 weeks' time?
Yes, new baby. Be on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So 9, 7 and 0.
Yes.
How are you feeling about that?
Do you know what? It's really exciting and really different because I'm older.
How old are you now?
37.
Okay.
And it feels like we are having a baby. You know, it's,
yeah,
the kids
the
are
family.
Old enough to understand. Yeah. And it's exciting. It really is.
Imagine
exciting.
Like Christmas in 3 years' time, particularly. It's just going to be a buzz.
It's brilliant. Look, life is never boring.
That's for sure. And so Robin and Sonny are prepared for this. They're
yes.
they're going, okay, there's a new sheriff in
oh, they're
in town.
So excited. Yeah, they're taking it really well. Yeah.
Do you have everything? Do you have all the gear?
We had to get everything
again. I was
going
to say, because you know the way sometimes you keep this stuff.
We had nothing.
Had you passed it all on to family and friends?
It was gone. Everything was gone.
That's so
I think we have one high chair like hidden by Halloween and Christmas decorations that probably has a 7-year-old rice cake hidden in the cracks of it and, you know, squishy mushed carrots somewhere. So I might take that out of the darkness and see if it still
dust
works.
It down. There'll be a lot of spiders on it this time of year, so watch that.
Things growing on it.
Love hate, right? You loved The Time Traveler's Wife as one of your all-time favourites.
Yeah, I do love that book, yeah.
But I'm intrigued by the... Well, hate's too strong, but tell me about your frosty relationship with Jane Austen. You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
What is it about her? Just hard work?
Yeah, I just find it... I can't really connect to it. It's a time gone that I can't identify with. I find it irritating.
Is it the old... All of it.
Yeah, it's not a modern woman, and that really just frustrates me to go back in time to where people can't say what they want to say. I'm just like, say it, spit it out. You know, this language where...
Like the 80s in Ireland.
true. Yeah, I suppose I don't like all that.
Yeah.
There's a word for it.
I'm not sure quite what the word might be at this moment.
You know what I mean.
But would you watch things like, would you watch all the old Pride and Prejudice?
No, see, I don't like all that old worldy stuff. But I do love The Crown, actually.
Do you?
Bizarrely.
Well, that's probably closer to our time than that time, if you know what I'm saying.
See, that's how much I know about it.
That's how much you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not an old worldy person. I think I just get irritated by... Yes, by people not being able to say what they want to say and there's, games.
You just want to spit it out and sort it out.
And be honest.
just a quote that you said once about being successful, and this could be old, and I wonder, has it changed since you said it? Everyone wants you to explain your success. And you said, if I was the son of a politician, I'm pretty sure it would be different. And I'm not having a pop at the politician thing. It's just, do you think that there's a gender issue there, or has that been addressed in recent times?
I think it's been addressed.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be one of those people that go on about it. But one of the fascinations kind of with my career was how much I made and the size of the first deal and all of that. And I always used to think I'd look at footballers who were getting like 20 gazillion a week and they never apologize for it, never have to explain why or you know, is it their own natural talent or, you know, so there was a lot of that. I think I was probably just comparing, having one of those days where I was comparing.
But I wonder, like, is it different also in the UK if somebody's making all that money as a footballer or whatever, they kind of go, well, that's what you do if you play for Man United. Whereas here it's kind of, now Cecilia Hearn, I knew her when she had nothing and now she's there with all that money.
Well, you know, it's a good thing about Ireland. We will be kept grounded.
For sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, P.S. I Love You was a hugely successful movie, Cecilia. And there's a little bit of news, I understand, in the pipeline that you are revealing exclusively and for the first time on the planet Earth here on our radio show, which we are honoured to know about. So,
for the first time, Mr. Hoppity.
Yes, ma'am.
There will be a postscript movie.
Congratulations. Yay. This is huge.
It is great.
Already, like.
Do you know who... One of the first people to email me when we announced the news was Hilary Swank. She was so excited. She wanted to read the book and she said, I would love to support you in any way, shape or form. And then she read the book and she said, I want to make this movie. So at that stage, we'd already kind of, everyone who was involved in the first
old gang are back.
Yeah, really, it felt like a lovely reunion, everyone back together again. Now we don't have screenwriter, director or any of that.
Nothing's
been announced yet.
Yeah. Well, it has now.
but the movie's happening.
And Hilary Swank back for...
Yeah, that's great.
So having to kind of do that weird recasting of the...
Exactly,
yeah. Congratulations.
I'm delighted,
That's a busy time for you. It's always a busy time for you. Yeah. Have you had a book every year since, you know, you started?
Yeah.
You're incredible, honest to goodness. Maria's in Cork. She says, Cecilia, you're amazing. My daughter, Abby, is 13, loves reading and tells me she's going to be an author. And I keep telling her that she will. She had an amazing imagination and you are her inspiration.
Wisers.
I love hearing that, especially the youngsters. It's just tremendous. Una's in Sligo. She said, I have a notebook for my two children and I write in it every birthday and Christmas. I don't have time for a diary, so it helps to capture precious memories. And Frank says, I'm enjoying the interview with Cecilia. My life is short. It's a mystery, but our ability to love and to be loved gives me hope. that we will live on in spirit. So that's a nice way to conclude our chat this morning. Cecilia, congratulations. Postscript is the book. I know you're also doing an event at the beautiful Stella Cinema in Rathmines on Saturday, September the 21st, where it'll be a question and answer session with
you. Yes, so you can watch the movie. You can watch P.S. I Love You, and then we'll talk about Postscript.
And book signings afterwards, which is pretty exciting. So people can find that, no doubt, online for details on that. So well done. But in the meantime, good luck. I think particularly with child number three, as much as the latest book. I think that's just they're the most important productions of them all, as you know. So I'm delighted for you, and congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for coming in. And now I need to do a message for Robin to say thank you for the Jelly Babies.
Thank you so much.
Job done. Cecilia Hearn joining us live on the programme this morning. The time is 9:45.